Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Tim and the team. The joy I feel in my heart cannot be copied elsewhere. It is true joy that only the Lord can give, and true joy and peace that can only come from God. And as we worshiped Him this evening, I truly felt joy that only God can give, and for that I am extremely grateful. Not only for worship, but as I know, it's just hours, literally hours until Holiday Club. I don't know what I'll do after Holiday Club, because my life has been Holiday Club. But I really am grateful for the opportunity that we get just to come and to minister to children whom God had planned would come to Central Baptist on the 25th of June to the 29th, even before He created the foundations of this world. Everyone who is standing here, just know that God had chosen to use you before He even created you. For that, we are to be grateful. As I was preparing for this message, I felt like I was in boot camp. Just because there was just so much to do, so many things I had to accomplish, and I had people chirping in my ear at interesting times of the day. I just said that it would be no justice if I did not preach about a boot camp the day before Holiday Club. So I do pray that you be blessed by the message that the Lord has put in my heart. And I'd like us to pray once again, just ask for the Spirit to continue leading and guiding us through this session. God, I'm just filled with praise for the fact that we serve a God who is truly so good. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your loving kindness. We thank You, Lord, for the compassion You show to all that are Your own. Father, even as we come and we sit under the preaching and the reading of Your word, I pray, God, that You may break any barrier that is covering our hearts, Lord, from truly experiencing true peace and joy in Jesus. I pray, Father, that even as I speak, Lord, that Your Spirit would just guide me, Lord, that Your Spirit may enlighten my own darkened heart. And that, Father, as I speak, Lord, I may speak as thus saith the Lord. And that, Father, Your word may be brought to Your people accurately. I pray, Lord, for the reception of Your word as well. May Your word be received with joy. And, Father, may application be done after the preaching of Your word. For I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I read 2 Timothy chapter 2, the image of a boot camp always comes to mind. The whole point of a boot camp is to get soldiers fit for the rigorous requirements for war. They spend countless hours getting rid of previous habits and developing new ones under strict instructions of their drill sergeant. Now, when I think of a boot camp, I just think of that one guy who's always, the soldiers are standing in attention, and this one guy who's always just screaming at them. Now, I went on YouTube and I Googled drill sergeants, and I couldn't bring the video because some of the things that they say are not parliamentary for this city. But just so you know, they do say some harsh things, not necessarily to offend the soldiers, but to prepare them for what they're about to face. I asked a few of the Holiday Club alumni to put together short clips of drill sergeants in their own life who encouraged them when they were still in Holiday Club, and I hope to show you those videos, not now, but a bit later. But before we get there, what is a drill sergeant? When I grew up as a Christian, anywhere I went, so it doesn't matter what church, what youth group it was, whenever they said we're going to watch a Christian movie, it was going to be this one. So this is what a drill sergeant is.
Starting funny, dude.
Oh, it is.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You gonna give me your best?
I'm gonna give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more.
Let's go to the 50. Let's go to the 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
That short clip is just a short picture of what ministry looks like. When you start, everyone is doubting your abilities. You will have a select few who will be laughing at you. You'll have the few who will doubt you, but you will have that drill sergeant who will be next to you, letting you know that you can do it. The drill sergeant that we'll be looking at this evening is the famous one, if I might add, is the Apostle Paul. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read just the first 10 verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It reads, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Verse 9, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You see, sometimes when you go into ministry, in fact, some people will be doing Holiday Club for the first time tomorrow, and they're not sure if they'll be able to do it. Some have been doing Holiday Club for many years, and some have stopped doing Holiday Club because maybe they've been discouraged. But the Apostle Paul here was Timothy's very own drill sergeant. You see, If you look at the life of Timothy, as you read from many commentators, they all suggest that Timothy was a man who was in need of a drill sergeant. So the first thing that the Apostle Paul brings to Timothy's attention is the strength provided. He says to Timothy, "Timothy, before you go into ministry or before you go into this discipleship relationship, I want you to stop and think. What has the Lord given you before you go into ministry?" You see, commentators suggest that Paul says to Timothy 25 times in both books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, he says, "Be strong, be courageous." The thought behind this is that Timothy was easily discouraged by either matters of the church or by the people who were surrounding him, and he was generally weak. So Paul comes in as this drill sergeant saying, "Timothy, be strong in the grace." You see, unfortunately, this is the same for some of us today. You see, some have stopped doing ministry or some have stopped participating in ministry because they have been discouraged way too many times. Some are afraid to be offended or to be persecuted because of the fact that they have to invest their lives. They have given too much and people will not give them the acknowledgement for this. The Apostle Paul starts by saying, "Timothy, I want you to know something. As you are about to start in the ministry, you have been given strength. Strength that comes from above. Be strengthened in the faith." Something that's beautiful about this phrase is the Apostle Paul was not saying to Timothy, "Timothy, you need to wait for the Lord to strengthen you." The Apostle Paul was saying here to Timothy that the strength is already there. You need to tap into it. You see, what the drill sergeant in that clip was saying to that young man, he says, "You need to now channel your mind to go into the deeper parts of your body and find that piece of strength that you are not using." In moments of difficulty in ministry, in moments of difficulty in discipleship, in moments of difficulty next week in Holiday Club as well, you're going to need to stop and tap into the strength that God has given you in Christ Jesus. This strength is the grace of God. This grace is twofold. Number one, it is the grace that saves you. An author says, there is nothing that can make us as strong as saying, I am a child of God in Jesus Christ. I have the love and favor of God even though I do not deserve it. That is the strength that comes by grace. The fact that we are children of God who have an heavenly Father, we have power. Not only is it the grace that saves you, but it is that grace that is the divine assistance from God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28c to 29 says, He does not faint, this is God, or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and yet He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases in strength. We literally have no excuse as to why we are not participating in any form of ministry. We have no excuse as to why we are not participating in the discipleship that the Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy to participate in here. When I read this passage, I just felt that ministry and discipleship cannot be separated, because the Great Commission is that we are to go and make disciples. Not just converts, but converts who will live their lives for the sole purpose to bring God the glory that He deserves. So what's your reason for not being involved? If your reason maybe was, I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I have the strength. I don't think I'm fitting. The answer is you are. God has given you the strength. Number two. The drill sergeants. The first one is the Apostle Paul. I call him Paul the Discipler. Paul's encouragement to Timothy was a heart-to-heart one. In verse 1, he says, You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace. The Apostle Paul had a unique relationship with Timothy. In any ministry that we participate in, we are to give of ourselves to ensure that we have this relationship that the Apostle Paul had with Timothy, where he was able to call him my child. A heart-to-heart ministry. So Paul moved from just being a drill sergeant to being a father to Timothy. A lot of the kids that will be here next week are going to be looking for this type of person. They're going to be looking for a leader who is going to come and who is going to pour out their hearts to ensure that they grow in the grace of our Lord. I remember my first time at the gym. It was an interesting time. So I've never been to the gym before, but in my mind I had a picture of what should happen when I'm at the gym. But as soon as I got to the gym, all I saw was these men in vests who had muscles I knew there's no way that I could get in 3 days. So I got to the gym and I chose randomly pieces of equipment and I just started working out. And in my mind, I was convinced that I'm developing the right muscles, but yet everyone next to me was looking at me like, he doesn't know what he's doing. You see, I'd go to a leg press and I'd be working my back. I'd go to the arm press and I'd be working my legs. Everything I thought I was doing right, essentially I was doing wrong. I didn't know that I needed a personal trainer or just a gym partner. You see, this is the same about many Christians today. They've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not know that they need that drill sergeant who will come next to them and help them in their walk in the faith. Will you be the drill sergeant? I want you to just take some time out and think about your own life. Who was your drill sergeant? Who invested their time in your life, ensuring that you grow up and fulfill the purpose that God had set before you? If that person's name comes to mind right now, I want you to just thank God for that person. The next question is, who are you a drill sergeant to? You see, in verse 2, it says, What you have heard from me, your drill sergeant, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the clip I promised you from the Holiday Club alumni is the next one.
So I attended a holiday club ever since I was like 5 or even younger, and every year there had been something that impacted me and something that really stood out for me, but there was one event that was really like something, and that was when I was in grade 5 and they got, they got a soccer player to come in, a professional soccer player, and just give his testimony. And just how he uses his talents and how he was using his talents to glorify God just really challenged me and made me think, you know, how can I use my talents to glorify God and how can I give God the glory? So, yeah, that's something that I'll never forget.
My best holiday club experience was the Finding Nemo Holiday Club, which was, I think I was in grade three, yeah, and the theme was Finding Nemo, and I think the whole year, every time I watched Finding Nemo, all I remembered was that God always has a plan for us, and He is always going to be doing something to get us to His plan, to be accomplished in our lives. And I think with that, it's been a blessing to see that Holiday Club is still going on over the years till today, and I pray that it keeps going on so that other kids can come into the faith to know God and to understand that it's even at their youngest, that's when God wants them.
In the third grade, we had an agnostic child like in our midst, and it was very weird, I think, for a bunch of what would be like Christian grade 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds to be faced with this person that says they don't believe in God. And I think we all took it very well, but I remember our leader just preaching continuously and just continued speaking, and I believe a seed was sown, because, you know, as time went on, you saw this person's interest in Christ increase, and I think it was just so amazing that through an opportunity like Holiday Club, something that is probably overlooked by so many people, that kids as young as 10, 9, just get an encounter with God, even though they've grown up in a home where God has been shunned out and stuff, and I think that was really cool.
You see, sometimes we don't see how far our influence goes. Sometimes we don't get the youngsters come back when they're now working in their families and come back and share these beautiful testimonies of the impact you've had in their lives. You see, although drill sergeants in the military are naturally strict and they're harsh, but the soldiers on the battlefield will always remember the fingerprints that drill sergeant left in their hearts. You see, as we minister to these little kids in the next coming week, as you minister to whoever you're discipling, you are leaving your fingerprint in their heart. You see, I got a phone and I had a God's must be crazy moment when I realized I could unlock my phone with my fingerprint. It just clicked to me that, you know, when that kid or whoever you've ministered to over the years thinks about you, your fingerprints will unlock memories of the lessons that you taught them. And they will remember the glorious truths about our Lord Jesus Christ, and they will remember that, oh yeah, He told me that I am to apply this. Now, when they are on the battlefield, when they are facing the world and all of its challenges, they will remember your ministry to them years ago. And by that, God is glorified. So this coming week, we get the opportunity to participate in the intentional fulfillment of the Lord's Great Commission. We are to make disciples of these little ones. We are to train these little ones to observe all that the Lord has commanded through the 5 days of heart-to-heart ministry, like the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We can ensure that we can train disciples who will train others also. That is the job of the drill sergeant. In essence, each and every one of us needs a drill sergeant in our own lives. And each and every one of us needs to be a drill sergeant in somebody else's life. The next person is the soldier. He says in verse 3-4, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So the soldier is a result of generational discipleship. He is a result of the four-stage discipleship plan that Jeff spoke about last week. Paul discipled Timothy. Timothy was to disciple faithful men, and the faithful men were to disciple others also. We are the result of the others also. And the question is has the cycle stopped with you? As the cycle has been coming down and it was Paul and it was Timothy and it was the faithful men and it was the others and then it was me, who's after me? That is where we come in as drill sergeants and say, listen, I have been commissioned. I have been enlisted to the army. You see, the Greek word for excellence is the idea of a boat is not excellent until it is on water. Or else it's just a boat. Likewise, a Christian is not excellent until he is showing the fruits and the marks of true Christ-likeness. Those are the soldiers that Christ is looking for. So the soldier is a result of generational discipleship. The soldier needs to be attentive. We live in a world that is filled with distractions. Everything and everyone is looking to get your attention. In fact, as I stand here using my phone as the Bible, I've received already texts which could be a distraction. We're living in a distraction-driven world. Obvious distractions are the media. I feel like every time I speak about the media, if you're above a certain age, you feel like you're innocent because you don't know how to operate Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. But the radio does fall into that category. The newspaper, the news, anything that is looking to grab your attention and move you away from doing what you've been enlisted to could be the media. Relationships. Relationships require a lot of time. When I put this down, I'm like, it's awkward because we just had a matchmaker thing now and it feels like I'm bashing it. But what I am saying is relationships do take up time. And they too can be a distraction as you are a soldier who is enlisted in the war or in the army of Christ. Events, holiday club can be a distraction in the war that God has placed before us. If we run a holiday club to ensure that Pretoria knows that at Central Baptist we run the best holiday clubs in South Africa, that is a distraction. If we run a holiday club to make a name for ourselves, or if I run a holiday club to prove to the eldership that I can do my job, that can be a distraction. Holiday club needs to be for the sole purpose that God's name is proclaimed and little souls not just come to know Him as Lord and Savior, but seek to live lives that will please the Lord Jesus. So if these distractions are present in your own life, the results are twofold. When the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have honed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Distractions look to take our attention away from God so that we forsake Him, and then we look for something else that will give us joy, that will give us peace, and that is all a lie. Because there is no true joy or peace that can come from anywhere else but from God. So our job as drill sergeants in the ministry is to share to people their need for God. And that nothing outside of God works. Outside of God, there is no joy and no peace and no lasting success. As a soldier, we need to be looking for a podium finish. He says in verses 5, he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. No athlete secures a podium finish by taking shortcuts. We cannot expect to have a generation of mature Christians if we ourselves are not looking to get ourselves attached in a discipleship relationship. We need to put in the work. We need to commit ourselves to the cause so that we too can get the reward that the Lord has promised us as good Christian soldiers. The rewards for those who are faithfully involved in God's ministry of discipleship are unmatched by anything that this world can offer you. That's why he says a good Christian soldier does not get himself entangled in civilian pursuits. What's the greatest thing that you can leave with your children when you die? It is not your money, or your house, or success in education. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we have been enlisted to this war. One thing about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer is that they all endure. No external pressure will stop a soldier from fulfilling his task. No soldier in the midst of boot camp No good soldier in the midst of boot camp, when there's external pressures, puts his hands up and says, "No, I'm done." No athlete, after he has run 7 laps and he's fetching the last lap and starts to feel his legs give up on him as he's running this race, decides, "Well, you know what, I'm going to give up. Well, that was a great race. At least I did 7 laps. It's good enough." No farmer who has put in the work, and when it's about harvest time, one mistake happens and he says, "I'm selling the farm. I give up." These three, the Apostle Paul uses purposefully in communicating to the apostle, to Timothy about being a good soldier. You need to be able to endure. And he's able to say this because he's already said in the first verse that you have been given strength from above, so you should be able to endure. The sacrifice. Point number 4, almost done. If you are going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if you want to be a minister or a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to be willing to give up your privacy. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 to 36 says, "And rising very, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." So what's happening here is the Lord Jesus Christ leaves the disciples just for a moment early in the morning to go up and pray. And it's almost like, "Father, I can finally just spend time, just me and you." And the disciples wake up in panic saying, "Where is Jesus? We will find him. He will not leave our side." And they find him up on the mountain as he prayed. Understand, as people, privacy is something we all need and something we all look for. In fact, I myself, confession time, when I lived here, I was like, "Oh my goodness, there's definitely no privacy here." Wake up in the morning, already someone by the door asking you, "Hey, where aren't you coming? It's teen Bible hour." I'm like, "I haven't had breakfast yet." So, but then the thing is, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be willing to let people into your lives. That heart-on-heart ministry requires us to say, "Listen, I'm willing to give up even ounces of my privacy to ensure that you walk in a manner worthy of the gospel." You need to be willing to sacrifice your time and money. We just wrapped up the book of 1 Thessalonians, and as Paul ministered to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become dear to us." There is no ministry without the love of God. There is no ministry without compassion. These are things that are actually to be driving our ministry. The last thing that we need to know that we are going to experience as true soldiers of Jesus Christ is heartache. In fact, if you just went one chapter back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "You are aware that those who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom were Phygellus and Hermogenes." Sorry, I might have butchered those names. But the truth is even as you invest your life into the life of this one individual, it does not guarantee that they will make other disciples also. It is not a guarantee. It is not a guarantee that after you've invested your time and you've invested your money, that the people you've invested your life in will have the fruits of Jesus Christ. These are some things we need to be aware of and take on and know that heartache is part of the deal of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In conclusion, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. The cost and suffering that comes in ministry is all for Jesus." We heard this morning from Pastor Charles that the chief purpose of the Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, is to ensure that we exalt the name of Jesus and make Him the center of our lives. If you want to know why were we continuously advertising Holiday Club, why were we continuously asking for volunteers, why did we continuously ask you for donations, it is because of this chief end, that we can exalt the name of Jesus and ensure that these little ones make Jesus the center of their lives. The Apostle Paul says, "Although I was bound by chains, the word of God will never be bound." This is something so beautiful. The word of God will never be bound. In fact, Spurgeon says, "Immortal as the Christ, who is the sum and substance of it, is the everlasting gospel of the blessed God." The word of God shall endure forever. So, verse 10. "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Be willing to endure all things to those you minister to. Initially, this message was to be for the leaders in the Holiday Club, but I feel it should be for all of us. If you're not involved in any ministry in the church, you should be involved in the ministry of discipling others. It is not an option, it is a command. And as you participate in that ministry, be willing to endure all things that those you minister to may share in the great and marvelous gift of salvation in Christ. So how is this all possible? I purposefully left out verse 8. The Apostle Paul just throws this in there. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. It is because Jesus is alive. It is because He had victory over death. And He is alive. He is the resurrection and the life. It is because of this that we can share this gospel so boldly. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is working inside of you if you believe in Him. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that, Lord, I feel like as Christians, we all know what it is that we need to be doing. But Father, the difficult part comes when we actually have to do it. So I pray, God, as the Apostle Paul it reminded Timothy, I pray, Lord, that you'd use each and every one of us as drill sergeants in each other's lives, reminding each other from the strength that comes from above, the grace that God has given so freely to us that we can fulfill his ministry. I pray, God, that the chief purpose of our lives here on this earth may not be, Lord, for material success, but I pray, God, that our chief end may be that we may extol and lift up the name of Jesus, and that, Father, everyone may come to know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. So, God, use this holiday club that is coming up next week. Use each and every one of us, Lord, to share your gospel so clearly and so boldly. And most importantly, Lord, help us to give of ourselves, sacrifice all that is needed for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.